The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy, and this one's going right over the plate, right, isn't it?
Like,
right over the middle
of the
plate. Oh, like
it's a perfect strike?
This one's going to be a perfect strike. Well, no, because even that sounds like it takes a lot of effort.
Oh.
This one's going to be by the books, huh?
Oh, okay.
Second base.
This one's going to get you to second base.
This is a ground rule double. I don't know what that means.
A lot of people are like 499. That's, ooh, there must be ramping up. And it's like, nah, we're not Evel Knievel. You know what I mean? We don't need an approach game. This one's going to be right over the plate. And then the next one's going to be fucking wild.
We're walking this bat. This is the batter where
this
it's just like.
This batter's going to walk.
We're going to walk this one because we know the next one's an easy out. But this one, this is the big slugger who scares us because earlier in the season, he got that grand slam off of us to lose the big game. And now we're a little nervous around him, so we might walk him. But what's that? Oh, Travis is coming in here and he's not ready to walk him. He's got blood in his eyes. You know, he might kill this batter.
I guarantee you will finish this episode of the podcast and say out loud, fine.
Yeah.
They recorded audio into microphones for an hour. And then
no, anybody can do that. I'm saying, I don't want it to say it's going to be bad.
Okay.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's not juice. It might be great, but I'll tell you this much. It's going to be a lot like the other episodes.
Yeah.
This is the big unit that Travis's analogy was perfect. This episode's Mark McGwire. We're gonna pass on him. We're gonna let him go on to first so he doesn't do a lot of real damage before fucking Big Poppy gets up here on 500 and slams one.
This is the thing, is like, no matter how well we did on this might end up being our greatest episode yet. But I think it would be rare to find somebody who would look at 500 episodes, like the 500th episode even, and say, oh yeah, but the most special one was 499. No, that's not, that's weird.
Here's what I'd say, okay?
Okay, yeah.
498 perfect episodes, okay?
Yeah.
Certainly, dear listeners, I think you would agree, we've earned one
for us.
I can't believe it.
Not bad. Just for us.
It's go listen to episode, I'm going to just, 361. This one's going to be like that. Assuming it's not a live show or whatever the fuck. Like, this one's going to be like episode 127, right? It's just going to be a fucking episode.
Close your eyes and picture your platonic ideal of a My Brother and Me episode. This is going to be it. This is the Venn diagram of normal episodes, and this one is going to be one circle.
We're going to do yahoos. We're going to have fun. But, like, don't expect us to set some shit up.
No.
This is not the Rosetta Stone. You need to understand episode 500. This one's Mark McGwire, MLB former home run record holder.
But now, don't lower your expectations either.
No, it's
going to be fine. It could be good.
Griffin, you randomly pulled 361. And I think that this episode, I would like to do this a few times.
Yeah.
I'm going to just click out a random number generator.
Sure.
And return to some great episodes. I don't want to play clips from them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I just like to. So in 361.
Yeah.
See if any of this.
Okay.
Hashtag Mambo number 5.
Nope.
Nipple shrapnel.
No.
Nope.
A frequency situation.
Nope.
Fondue rules.
That rings something of a bell.
Navy beans, Friles, and Nazier. It sounds like one of the.
Oh, wait. Okay. Friles and Nazier.
That sounds like when we talked about Frasier in that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's
one
gotta be. Yeah.
Hey, but we don't normally reminisce on this show. This one's got to be by the books, Juice. So,
well, I want it to be by the books.
Yeah, we've never made a callback before, Griffin.
A callback implies that we're just recycling bits.
Uh-huh.
I want to just return to the randomly selected episode 141, Dan the Man with the Flan Plan.
Oh, no, I know that one.
Fun to say. February 2013, so young, favorite Oscars, squatting. Mm.
Okay.
Eye butt.
That's great.
What a fruitful period. Big city living.
Okay.
Dan sexual.
Now,
no
that
idea.
One I remember.
How rich. What a rich tapestry
a rich
we were weaving.
Time that was.
Did you say I butt?
I
was that lowercase I big B butt like it was from Apple?
Lord just almighty, that's good.
An I butt is one that was in here.
That's okay. That's a powerful turn of phrase. What might be a fun game is what is the most recent episode that I can't remember a fucking lick of a thing about? Because I bet it's shockingly recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
466. Just pulled that out of my butt. That would have been 23 episodes ago, right?
We'll
33.
Think of Journey Back to 466, Griffin. That was the food train.
Okay, I remember food train.
Okay.
Okay. We're good. So 466.
Food train was smart, actually.
Food train was a smart, good idea. But let's go to 439. 439, I bet you know it's a completely different three boys hosted that show.
Okay, 439.
Yeah.
Well, that was Candle Nights 2018. So you definitely do remember that.
The memories are there. So then you probably sandwich around like, but this year's number, blah, 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 which is an excuse for us not to do our usual jokes.
437, take it back to before that. A Silent Chug. Huh. That's Business Paintball, Wishbone Brutality, Big Candies.
Ooh.
The Fast Food Arms Race, Sirius Zapdos, and Horny Radio Disney.
Horny Radio Disney, I remember. Okay, I locked that in. Is this fun for anybody other than us? Probably not.
It's barely fun for me.
Yeah.
I work for a food delivery service.
Congratulations.
We can all agree this is a classic start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is right down the home.
And
plate.
I tried to follow it up to you by doing the thing where I pretend like, even though I know Justin's reading a question, like it's that Justin is saying that thing about himself.
Yeah.
Classic. That's classic.
Classic. I'm going to miss these bits in the new era.
Yeah, right.
In the light of 500 when things change so dramatically that it's scarcely recognizable as a podcast.
That's when I'm going to stop phoning it in.
500 is our goop. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Really?
Listen, I want to get back to this question for sure. Yeah. Although, I bet that when I started with I work for a food delivery service, there were probably at least 75 people listening. They're like, yes, they did mine.
I thought you were going to say 75%, and I was going to agree.
That number might also be accurate.
Anyway, 500 is our goop. And what I'm saying is we're going to transition from pure comedy to more lifestyle brand.
That's
where the money is a lifestyle brand.
Yep.
And then we can, I've got my new bit called Exfoliation Station. Nice. Everybody's been clamoring for me to have my own segment. So I'm going to be talking about all kinds of crystalline rubs. I'm going to be talking about peels. I'm going to be talking about acids, abrasive, acidic, but your skin is either going to look great or
be gone.
Be completely now your bones. And even that, maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah, how to beautify your bones. Everyone's focused on such surface level stuff. I'm talking about like what's inside that counts, which is how pretty are your bones.
Make those fucking sinews pop. Let's talk about the deep tissue.
That in skin bedazzling. I'm going to do a new segment called What Not to Wear, and it's WHERE, and it's all about which vacation spots are out this season.
Loving that.
Thank you.
I'm going to do a segment called Toxic People in the Trash for me now,
uh-huh.
And it's about relationships.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Are you in some way implying that that's Griffin and I?
No, not in any way. You guys are bringing some incredible stuff.
Woo.
Exfoliation, the vacation stuff, I love it.
What not to wear, please.
Sometimes when I pick up food from a restaurant, I ask for a drink.
Let's run it back to the beginning of the question, because we might have...
I work for... okay, but that is actually applicable to me often when I get... Sometimes when I pick up food from a restaurant, I ask for a drink. About half the time, they just give me a drink. But sometimes they ask for payment. And then I'm forced to pay for the drink because I'm not going to tell them I don't want it now. That's true. They've already fucking got you right where they want you. Thirsty. Brothers, how can I get a free drink from these restaurants or decline the drink after the fact? And that's from no such thing as a free drink. You can't.
This is so fucking wild. This is such a wild, like, fast food hacks. Keep an empty cup from every fast food restaurant in your car so you go in for free refills level of you asking us how to fucking cheat the Burger King, how to personally cheat and bamboozle the Burger Man.
Okay, counterpoint though. I get it, because like you are getting like, oh, long day, huh? We're both in the food service industry. Woo! Yeah, just picking up another order for those bags of bones who can't come in and get it. Am I right? Anyways, sure. I'd love a Mr. Pibb. Yes.
But if that's the sort of spectrum we're going off of, when I worked at TCBY, I never walked into the Baskin Robbins down the street and said, like, oof, ice cream days. Tell me about it. These hot times. Oh, when the hot times are here, ice cream days get rough. Right, fam? Anyway, Sprite for free, please.
But what if you had and it worked? That's what I'm saying. Is this question asker... There's already some proven proof in the pudding here that they have received free drink. They're not asking, can I go do this? Half the time, this works. But right? Here's what I would do.
Go ahead.
When you're like, oh, can I grab a drink while I'm here? And they're like, yeah, for money. You say, oh, no monies. And pull your pockets out and they're empty. And if you can, have a moth in there.
Moth in there. That's
that
good.
Will sell them, but oh, no monies. And then you might still get the free drink. But at the very least, it's like, I delivered for, let's say, a sandwich chain known for their rapid deliveries. And a lot of the times, people would tip me cash, and I was so thankful because I needed that money to put gasoline into my car to get back to the sandwich chain that I worked at.
Right.
And so, like, it's not that far off. If someone was like, it's going to be $2.99 for this large soda or whatever, and I was like, no monies. Like, I'm probably not lying at that point in my life.
And you did have that trained moth that you used for this exact scenario.
Well, the moth would wet its beak, too. You know what I mean? It would get a little Mr. Pibb in there as well.
Yeah.
Here's what I would try. Hey, I hate to bother you. Thanks for the food. I'm really, really thirsty.
Uh-huh.
Do you mind if I get a drink? And they're like, that'll be $1. And you look at them dead in the eye and say, I just meant from the sink in the bathroom. I was just going to get one. I was going to make my hands into a cup and then drink from the sink in your bathroom.
I was just going to lap up that muddy, dirty puddle outside. Sorry.
Yeah. No, wow. I didn't know. I just meant the puddle water. And then they'll feel so bad that they'll maybe just comp you. Okay, just don't do that on my watch. Have a cold, refreshing nickel's worth of syrup and cardboard and enjoy this soda. Ooh, what about this? Undercutting. That'll be $1.50. You're like, okay, how about this? How about I give you $1 and we both shut the fuck up about it?
Okay.
That's like a discount.
Okay, yeah,
that's like right.
Right. That's even worse now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe.
Yeah,
that's higher chance of getting fired.
That's kind of Sprite embezzlement, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You could just turn around and resell it to another customer. Be like, oh, shit, really? Okay, hold on, wait. Anybody want a Sprite? Normal price. I did taste it, so you know it's good.
Why not just say, like, oh, I was hoping for an employee discount? And they're like, what? I'm like, I deliver food for you. I'm an employee. And then if they're like, no, you're not, it's like, okay. And then you take the food and you deliver it somewhere else and you never talk to that person again.
Yeah, sorry, I got confused.
I thought I worked here because I'm here picking up food that I'm not going to eat and I'm taking it to someone else who is going to eat it and they pay me.
I am here more often than you are.
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who the fuck I am?
They say you have to pay for your drink. Just take the bag of food and upend it on the floor. I quit.
Take this job and shove your job.
Please don't call my boss, which I think is you.
Or the app? Can you call an app?
It would be, if they say try to charge you, just pull a sandwich bag out of your pocket and say, I don't actually need a cup. I don't know if you have a cheaper rate if you just fill up the soda bag for me and then I'll be on my way. Just fill up this soda bag.
I have a Yahoo here. This one was sent in by Daisy. Thank you, Daisy. It's a Yahoo Answers user, Anthony J., who asks, you know such flavors?
Huh.
You know such flavors as chocolate cake and marble vanilla, strawberry lemon, and such, right?
Yeah.
Like cake flavors.
Cake flavor. I know such flavors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Would anybody be interested in a grape-flavored cake?
Huh.
And I don't, the last thing I want to do is relitigate hot grapes, right? That is the last sort of predicament I want to get into.
Griffin, can I tell you something? Didn't even cross my mind till you said it.
Okay. Well, it was maybe my bit recall is actually better than I'm giving myself credit for. But let's talk about this. Where's the grapes cakes?
Well, here's the thing, Ditto.
Yeah.
Is that, well, there's two different grape flavors, as is true with a lot of fruit flavors, I would say. We have the grapes that one might eat off a vine, and then we have the grape flavor that one might get in, say, a pouch of Big League Chew, right? Mm. That doesn't taste like that. They don't taste like each other.
It's purple. It's purple. It's purple a different flavor. It's purple taste. It's purple flavor.
Yeah, but if you taste that weird, like, Big League Chew grape, you're like, that's grape. I know what this tastes like. And you'll eat a grape. And you'll be like, this tastes like grapes, right? But the twain do not meet.
There's really not a good middle ground of both grapes, is there?
No. And if you made a flavor that tasted like grapes, it would be weird as fuck.
It'd be really good, though, right?
It would be good. Grapes is good, though. Actually, Travis, local? I'm coming back around. I'm not saying it would be
bad.
Fresh grapes.
Didn't say it'd be bad. Said it'd be
but
weird.
But they're not making cakes of this stuff.
Yeah.
They're making cakes of virtually every other flavor, right? I've had so many. I've had more lemon cakes than you could shake a freaking stick at.
I've never shaken a stick at a lot of cakes.
And I've seen a lot of shows where they're making stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. I seen it on the Nailed It, on the Great British Bake Off, on the Zumbos.
Where's my Grape British Break Off? My Grape British Break Off. Let me. Fuck. My Grape British Bake Off. Where is it?
I want to take a second. I went ahead and Googled it. Grape cake, right? I Googled grape cake, and the first result is a Food Network offering from Chopped Judge Alex Guarnaschelli.
Yeah.
And here's what she has called this. Warm grape cake.
Okay.
And Alex, don't tell me the temperature at which this cake will arrive to my guests. Because I would say you probably have at best, 10-minute window of warm, right? Before you hurtle past out of hot into cold. Now, it just challenges us. Why does she say, Alex knows this, she's a foodie. Why would she call it warm grape cake? And I think it's because Alex wrote the words grape cake at the top of the paper and thought, that looks fucking crazy. I can't call it grape cake. That's insane.
It's
absolutely can't do that.
It's also entirely possible that Alex included, well, you're in some point in the recipe. So at some point, you're going to have to cook these grapes. And then she was like, I got to warn people about what they're getting into before. This is a sin against God. I got to give them a heads up before they start mixing flour and what have you.
Okay, here's what I think it is, boys. Here's what I think it is.
Wait, hold on. I want to say something else. Okay. The second recipe is from Once Upon a Chef, and it is called Harvest Grape Cake. Fuck off!
They need something in there, huh?
You got to get something in there because Martha Stewart is the third result, and hers is called a winemaker's grape cake. Just have some strength in your convictions.
Let it stand on its own merits.
Okay, to be fair, Justin, right? Someone walks up to you and they're somehow balancing three trays, right? And they say, this is a chocolate cake. And you think, I know what that is. This is a strawberry cake. Yes, yes, I understand. And this is a grape cake.
It's the next result after that is from Kitchen and it's called Fresh Grape Cake. Just Just, I'm having to go to the second page of Google now to see if there's somebody who had the power to just stand in their fucking truth. Okay, fine dining lovers, soft white grape cake. So the cake is soft and white. It's weird how not every other fucking cake recipe has to say it's soft.
Yeah, that's not white. A thing. Hey, how was the cake?
Soft.
Warm. Harvest. Winemakers.
Rock Recipes has a sunken grape almond cake.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
Ooh. That sounds bad.
That sounds haunted.
Here's the, okay, picture this, right? The cakes I described earlier. I hand you a strawberry cake. You cut into it. What color is it?
Pink.
Okay. I hand you a lemon cake. You cut into it. What color is it?
Yellow.
I hand you a grape cake. You cut into it. Is it purple?
But grapes aren't necessary. Oh, shit, Trav.
Yeah. You better be prepared to stand next to your cake for each person that comes up. And they're like, what's this? And you have to tell them, it's a grape cake. I know it's not purple.
Yeah.
But it's not a purple cake. It's not purple flavor.
It's not purple. It's grape. This is a grape cake. Yeah, but shouldn't the bread be purple? No. Grapes don't dye things purple. Like, cut open a grape, rub it on something. It doesn't make it purple.
It's kind of clear on the inside, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah.
Coming over here talking smart about my grape cake. I don't think this flavor is going to be good in your cake. Well, Paul Hollywood, have you ever had a fucking grape cake? No, actually. Why aren't we making cakes out of these little guys?
You win.
these little nature's gushers. I love these things.
I love these guys. I eat them all the time.
You're right.
Well, I've never even made a cake with these guys. And I make lots of cakes. This is weird.
But then imagine Paul Hollywood gets on TV and they're like, so Paul, what are you making for us? And he has to say, grape cake.
Paul's grape cake.
This is Paul. So it's just grape cake, Paul? It's a Paul's Fresh Harvest
Special
cake featuring also grapes.
I bet that there was in history at least once that someone said grape cake and they said, did you say great cake? I hope so. I'm like, no, grape cake.
Oh, thank you. I just bought it at the cape store. No, I didn't say great cape. What?
Grape.
The grape cake.
Okay, just call it Paul's grape cake.
Just call it Paul's finest grape cake on the market today. I work at a hardware store, specifically in the paint department. I worked here for 4 years, and I am a seasoned veteran, so I know my way around the color spectrum. I can make over 30,000 different colors.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
How many colors do you two think you can make?
How many can I make, or how many
can
I name?
Wait, can I finish it?
Can I finish?
Can I finish?
Right. Who is that? Is that fucking Ross Perot?
That is
Ross
funny.
Perot. Fuck, that's funny.
Fuck, that's funny. But today, a customer asked me a question I've never heard before. Which color is best?
Who?
Well, brothers, what is the best color?
Who?
And that's Trent from OKCupid, Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get... Oh, you got a little confused.
It's OKC.
Yeah.
It's OKC.
Oh, so I know. Yeah, your brain got scared and confused of the truth.
Blue.
Blue? No, blue's a sad color. Green.
We got it. Okay. If we sit here and talk about our favorite colors.
Not our favorite best.
Okay, but I'm talking about what we're currently doing, which is talking about our favorite colors. Uh-huh. It's not going to be fun or entertaining. The bias has already, like, we've been at this for 0.0 seconds, and the bias has already fucking crept in and polluted the game. So let's take a step back and we'll take blue and green off the table for a minute until we can talk about it like scientists and adults.
Okay, I will be a scientist then and I'll tell you. The answer is, unfortunately, in the context with which I imagine this question is being asked, which is like paint for either the inside or outside of a home or office or business of some sort, the answer is like eggshell or off-white or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because then it's like, hey, we're not going to make a choice with this color, but it's not going to be white either. Oh, we're not going with white. It's going to have a little life to it.
Right. You are, though, right?
What do you mean?
You're saying, I just wanted to clarify that you're saying white's the best color.
I'm not saying white. I'm saying off-white or eggshell. So,
yeah, but those are white. So you're saying like the best. Travis McElroy.
No, I clarified. Whoa.
Says
I
will. White is best.
I said in the context of paint for a room inside or outside?
I don't have room for that in my tweet. Listen, I love all this stuff. I think that's really going to help with the like the TMZ article and everything. But
what about pale gray? How's that?
We're getting close. All right, I'm going to take it in a different direction. With red, you can scare a bull.
Yeah, so, but imagine.
But bull's charging. Okay, Travis, let's play in the fucking space for like a minute. Scientifically, okay. Let's hypothesize in the space. Bull is charging at you. What color you want your little handy towel to be?
I mean, red. But right? I don't think customer's Griffin, asking what color should I buy to paint my handy towel, Griffin.
The color. Griffin has said the bull is scared of red. So is the way that bullfighting works is the city's red and the bull has to be like, that's really fucking scary, but I'm not going to be cowed by this. I want to show that thing his boss, even though I'm fucking terrified of this town.
No. Yeah. You know, red was the color that every bull's gym coach wore is the thing. And so the bull's like, I will not be bullied. That's where the term comes from. By the color red again.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of like practicality, right?
Yes. I think, what about this? Camouflage.
That's a few colors, though, isn't it, Travis?
Well, you say that, but I see those videos on Facebook where people like dip a helmet. They don't dick a helmet. That'd be weird. They dip a helmet into water that has like camouflage paint sitting on top of it.
And those videos are badass. Like, they're all agree on that, but it's far from being
That and the ones where people dig out like a pool in a house and stuff.
And they just like live there?
Whoa. I can watch that with the sound off for 4 days.
What about the ones where they make cakes? But they're like clear Jell-O cakes.
Oh, yes. The ones where they slowly make stuff out of like colored pencils and, you know, it's like, oh, look, I'm going to recreate like a thing to sharpen pencils and I'm going to do it in like 1,000 steps.
I fucking love that, dude. That's a good color. I think so far, if we're doing it with an unbiased stance, my red scares the bull argument is still sort of in the lead because it's the only color you're gonna want if a bull's coming to get you.
Okay.
So unless anybody has something that can beat, the red scares the bull.
The red does scare the bull. What's a color that bees don't like?
I was just thinking about bees, Trav.
Yeah, you were thinking about bees?
But I don't think they give a fuck about color, do they?
Well, what if you painted your whole house to look like a big bee?
That's multiple colors.
Do you know that bees can see colors we can't?
So it's probably the answer is probably whatever color that bee is seeing.
Bees can see UV. Good. Fucking tripping 24/7.
That makes me mad that there's a color I can't
thank
see.
Thank you. I'm glad they're gone.
Well, it's when you look at the color spectrum, right? And sometimes boys, I like to be a little bit nerdy and I like to really geek it up. It's like just past like indigo, purple, ultraviolet, right? So like I just imagine it keeps going and then it's like ultraviolet. It gets purpler and purpler and purpler. Uh-huh. So like bees, they see all the cool colors that we can see, but they can see the dankest fucking purples that are so purple, like our brains can't even think about it.
What if one day all the bees looked up and God had written in like ultraviolet in the middle of the air, everything's fucked, you guys need to get out of here. But we couldn't see it. And the bees did. And they're like, oh, we better go.
Can I talk more about bees for 1 second? Yeah.
I'd love that.
Bees cannot distinguish red from black. So I think if bees could talk, the first thing bees would say is, you have got to explain checkers to me. What the fuck are you guys doing? Come on. You're just moving these tiny plates? I don't know, y'all, but it is wild. That's why we left. Because y'all were doing checkers so much. We were like, this is fucking nothing.
Okay, so just to clarify, bees can see colors that we can't, but they also can't see colors that we can? Yeah, maybe it's a trade-off.
I hate that.
It's why we're so different, huh? It takes all kinds. That's true. It takes a whole village to pollinate a flower.
Everyone should have a bee paired with them. The bee will tell us about all the ultraviolet stuff we can't see, and we can be like, hey, let me explain to you why like this can of Mountain Dew Red looks so cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a point about bees, all right? Okay. Everybody's pretty upset.
Everybody stand
so
back.
Many of them.
Let's just real quick. It's red. It scares the bull away. And now let's go. Now we can
red,
go.
It's
on
red. It's settled.
Yeah.
Everybody's complaining about the bees leaving, and they're upset about it. And I get it, right? And it's because bee pollinate flower, right?
Yeah. Bee fuck flower.
Here's what I would say. If bees cared about us, they would probably just tell us how to do it, right?
How to pollinate
the
flower?
Bees would tell us how to do the pollinating, we would do it. We could do it. And then they could leave. They could have told us before they left, here's the secret. You give it a special little billy tickle, and then you slip the pollen. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Answer would probably be you rub your bits on it, and then you take your bits and you rub it over here on this other flower.
Right.
So there's a lot of bit dipping.
They could have just taught ants, right? What are ants doing?
They're not flying, Justin.
Listen up, ants. What? First things first, you gotta get out of the ground. Sucks to live down there. What are you doing? It's dirty as hell. Second, I want to talk about having a wank in the garden, because that's how we do things around here. You're bees now, ants.
I'm just saying bees could be ants.
Well, bees can be obviously. Ants. Obviously. But without wings, and the bees, you gotta get up there, and you gotta rub your bits on that flower, every time the ant gets out there, it's like, all right, let's do this. And it's got to climb up the flower stem, and then it gets up there and it's like, well, I don't rub my bits on that. Or maybe it gets up there and somebody's already rubbing their bits on the flower.
Also ants are just so strong, Juice. So when they get up there and they try to crank off, they're going to rip their members, dude.
Yeah, dude. That's actually true.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, let's take a break.
Rip them right up. Punch a hole right through their thorax, dude. These ants aren't going to be cranking.
Let's go to the mic zone. Huh?
Yeah, so we forgot to record the freaking ads, man. And I don't have an excuse for it. If you're looking for excuses, go somewhere the hell else, because we just forgot. We recorded a bunch of mabim bams. You know what? This ain't over the plate, is it? This one's pretty far off the plate. So I'm just gonna do the ads real quick, and we'll pretend like this never happened. I mean, pretend like you heard the ads and act on them, because that makes us look really good. But anyway, our first sponsor is Away. Away makes very good suitcases. We have an Away suitcase, and I recently purchased a second matching Away suitcase. Because I like it a lot. It's got lots of dope pockets. It's got these four 360-degree spinner wheels and a TSA-approved combination lock, so don't even worry about that. And also, there's a 100-day trial on everything Away makes and free shipping and returns on non-personalized items within the contiguous U.S., Europe, Canada, and Australia. They're sleek. They're stylish. They can take a banging and keep on rolling. And I like them a lot, so there. Start your risk-free 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases, at awaytravel.com/mybrother. That's awaytravel.com/mybrother to start your risk-free 100-day trial with Away. We are also sponsored by Warby Parker. Warby Parker, I know, scary name, right? It's got war right in there, but you don't need to be scared because it also has park in there, and parks are great. They have grass and birds and trees and stuff. Warby Parker doesn't deal in grass and trees. They deal in glasses. They do the home try-on program where they send you 5 pairs of glasses and you try them on for free for 5 days, and there's no obligation to buy them. They ship for free, and they include a prepaid return shipping label. You just go to warbyparker.com/mybrother. You take a quiz, and you order your free home try-on kit. They've also got new contact lenses, daily contact lenses. It's called Scout by Warby Parker. It's made from a, and this is in the copy, so I apologize, super moist material that resists drying for lasting hydration and comfort. Order a trial pack that includes 6 days worth of contacts for only $5, and then receive $5 off your next Warby Parker order. Learn more at warbyparker.com slash my brother. Just do it. Warby Parker does it right. They get you the glasses right. They start at $95 and they include prescription lenses. And those lenses have anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. It's good stuff. WarbyParker.com/my brother.
Hi, I am Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cashin.
Together, we host a podcast called
The Jackie and Lori Show.
We're both stand-up comics. We recently met each other because women weren't allowed to work together on the road or in gigs for a long, long time. And so our friendship has been unfolding on this podcast for a couple of years. Jackie constantly works the road. I write for Conan, and then I work the road in between.
We do a lot of stand-up comedy, and so we celebrate stand-up, and
yes,
we also bitch about it.
We keep it to an hour. We don't have any guests. We somehow find enough to talk about every single week. So find us. You can subscribe to The Jackie and Lori Show at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, bye.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, thank
what?
Dun, 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 dun.
What the-
Toronto!
Okay. I want a munch squad. I want to munch
squad. Right down the middle.
I'm standing up.
Whoa.
Right down the middle. This is one that's usually here, and now it's here again. Munch Squad. This is a little late, so we may have missed this promotion, folks, but I'm sure plenty of you took advantage of it. Boston Market selling baby back rib bouquets for $29.99.
Holy shit. Yeah, I think we missed it. I don't think they're going to
show that.
I don't think they're going to do it on Easter.
Show that. No, then they just sell crucifixes. It's two ribs.
It's two.
And a crucifix.
Same price.
Same price. Still $30. It's all about the experience. It's experiential eating at Boston Market.
Hey, we're kind of taking kind of an avant-garde approach to what it means to be Boston Market.
Boston Market is bidding farewell to flowers and chow to chocolates this Valentine's Day, with a new, one-of-a-kind gift, a romantic bouquet made of its newest menu offering, Fall Off the Bone, Baby Back Ribs.
That term has never sounded good to me. I need it to be on the bone at least until it reaches the mouth quadrant.
Well, sir, and certainly, if your plan is to deliver a bouquet of them to your lover,
yes,
you would want them to stick to maybe they're stick to your ribs with a pile of meat on their floor and a bunch of bones.
Hey, this Valentine's Day, how about a dozen fall off the stem roses?
Yeah. Right. It's beautifully assembled with one dozen tender Boston Market baby back ribs. The limited edition and sure to be coveted. Fucking pull up an imaginary stool and then get a seatbelt on your imaginary stool and strap yourself into it because this is about to blast you right out of the water. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The sure to be coveted Bay BAE Be Back Ribs Bouquet.
Holy
the
shit,
Bay.
Fuck.
Be Back Ribs Bouquet will be available for purchase on Friday, February 14th in all Boston Market restaurants nationwide while supplies last for $29.99. Hey, fuck, it's one day. So there are people, other humans, you know, like us people on Earth,
uh-huh,
that had to spend their life minutes learning how to make a tasteful rib bouquet for this fucking punchline of a promotion that lasts one day.
Hey, Justin, can I just dip in real quick for a second to touch on that thought? Because you, when you say beautifully arranged, tastefully arranged, the idea to execution gap that exists there for me is insurmountable. I'm going to take these dozen bones with meat and drippings on them.
Right.
And arrange them so that a human being would look upon them with their eye jellies and say, beautiful.
Well done. Beautiful. Well arranged.
These have certainly been touched more than the usual rib. I'm crazy about them.
And even more so that then another human being with their eye jellies would look at the new human being holding this and say, I wish I had that.
And imagine the light in your lover's eyes and the shame in yours when you admit to them it costs $30 for this fucking punchline. When we first toyed with the idea of adding baby back ribs to our menu.
Wait. They don't normally do baby back ribs?
It's a newer offering. When we first toyed with the idea,
like, how playful. Hey, guys, wouldn't it?
Hey, I just want to put the tiger on the table and fucking just yell at it.
Wouldn't it be so
baby
funny?
Baby back ribs. So cute and sweet.
Oh, my God.
Baby back ribs to our menu. We knew we wanted to focus on flavor and quality, says Chef Tony Fialho, Director of Culinary Innovation at Boston Market. That's why we had to put him in a fucking crazy shape.
Nothing says quality like pretending like baby back ribs are flowers to try to sell them.
That's why we're slow cooking our ribs to fall off the bone perfection again before smothering them in Sweet Baby Ray's famous hickory barbecue sauce. We just launched baby back ribs a few weeks ago, and our guests are loving them. On their own, our baby back ribs are sure to delight barbecue enthusiasts everywhere. But when packaged in a delectable bouquet, they're the picture-perfect Valentine's Day gift to help anyone delight and feed that special someone. That is the one of the things is you have to sit there and watch your lover consume the entire bouquet. That it's part of the gift. Boston Market is also inviting guests to celebrate their bae over a shared plate of baby back ribs, making it the perfect date night spot for some Valentine's Day loving.
Oh my God. Wait, what? Read that last sentence again, but slower and deeper.
Boston Market is inviting guests to celebrate their bae over a shared plate of baby back ribs, making it the perfect date night spot for some Valentine's Day loving. Yes, friends, Boston Market is encouraging you to fuck in the booth. Come on in. Eat some cornbread and fuck in the booth.
You know, never am I most ready for sexual intercourse than after consuming a bunch of ribs and bread.
In public.
In public.
At a Boston Market.
For $30.
On February 14th, pork isn't the only pork at Boston Market. It's a double entendre. On February 14th, couples can enjoy a romantic dinner for two. Mm-hmm. Featuring two half orders of ribs, two sides per person, and two pieces of cornbread for only $20 with a coupon available online at Boston Market.
So you're telling me.
Yeah.
I can get a dozen ribs plus extras plus some bonuses and then arrange them myself and saved a 10 spot is what you're telling me.
Yeah. I don't know how much you're in the portion.
10. See, the half rack is like, it's got to be more ribs for 20, but they're upcharging you. They're upcharging. Although, you know what? This is the $10 question. How do you arrange these ribs?
That's a great question, Griffin. I'm going to share with you an image.
Oh, cool.
Of what it looked like. And it is troubling. And this is a promotional image. It should, I'm sharing it in Slack now. It should be noted that this is not an image of like someone at home got this or this is what it looked like in their perfect.
I wish I'm going to need to tweet this one out because the way these ribs descend to the stem does not make sense.
It can't possibly be anything.
It also kind of looks for this promotional image like they took kind of like big hunks of like wet newspaper and dipped it in like mud and chocolate and said, delicious. Food.
This next part isn't germane to the story, but it is. They've thrown it in here. Boston Market fans can also spread the love even further when enjoying the new baby back ribs or any of their other favorites, thanks to the recently launched Rotisserie Rewards program. The loyalty program, available via the new Boston Market mobile app for iOS and Android, online at bostonmarket.com or in restaurant.
Are you doing that intentionally?
What?
The Ellen Barkin restaurant.com.
bostonmarket.com or in restaurant allows customers to earn 1 point for every dollar they spend in restaurant or online. Can you guys imagine what it would be like to order your food at Boston Market and then say, hold on a second, I'm a member of the Rotisserie Rewards program. And I want to make sure I'm credited the points for these ribs I'm buying.
I'm not eating these ribs for my enjoyment. This is a this is work to me. I need
these
points.
You probably recognize me. I'm part of the club. So anyway, Boston Market is making a truly delectable Valentine's Day mistake. I'm sorry we missed it. I'm sorry we couldn't get out there and warn people about it ahead of time. But
here's a quick Yahoo. And this one was sent in by Toasty Feet. Thanks, Toasty Feet. It's anonymous Yahoo Answers user. I'm going to call him Blaze. Asks, corn with a K, future Super Bowl halftime show?
Oh, boy.
Will corn with a K ever be selected to do a Super Bowl halftime show? And then first response here 3 days ago, Conley 39 says, it's possible, but unlikely.
Well, that's true of anyone being announced. They could say we're doing a live my brother and me for the, it's possible. I just side note, I'd rather see corn.
Yeah, no fucking kidding, man. Corn rips ass, dude.
Okay. Yeah, here's what I would say. If corn did the halftime show, here's how it would go. The first 2 or 3 minutes, you'd be laughing your fucking brains. It'd be so fucking hysterical that Korn was doing the halftime show. And then, like, 5 to 7 minutes in, they'd probably do, like, a really obscure cover of some cool song. And I think, by the middle of it, you'd be like, hey, this kind of rips ass.
That's a little bit weird.
Maybe I fucking love this.
Actually, this kind of fucking rules. Like, this kind of rips ass, doesn't it?
Hey, wait. Did we all forget that maybe Freak on a Leash wasn't, like, a bad song?
Huh. Yeah, you kind of can't. Like, this, it's kind of fun to with your friends when you're all palling around and having a few laughs to be like, boom, boom. But when he does it in the context of this song, it actually kind of beats ass.
Okay, this is a real Yahoo for adults. Grace sent it in. It's anonymous Yahoo Answers user. I'm going to call JJ. Asks, what would happen if I trolled a poker game in Las Vegas? Say that I'm in a Las Vegas strip casino and I go to the bar on the casino floor and order the largest beer they have. Then I walk over to the poker room where people are playing poker and I fling the beer out of the mug at the table. Then people are playing poker one moment and all of a sudden a tsunami of beer comes splashing down all over the table, the cards, and the chips. Then I make a run for it, beelining for the nearest exit. And in some casinos, the nearest exit is not far away from the poker room. Lol. Uh-huh. What would come of that?
Okay. What? Can I just say, I love that this person asked the question, what would happen, and then describes what would happen. Throw it, and then I'd have to run away because I assume people would be chasing me because I'd be very much in trouble.
Lots of people play poker. Lots of people play poker, and it's obviously a pro sport, and a lot of people are playing poker these days. But I feel like there's a lot of room left at the table, mm-hmm, the gambling table where they play poker, for advanced stratagems like this one.
Obviously. This is like 90% of what poker is. People will tell you it's about like how you bet or how you play the card. No. It's about the showmanship. You know, it's like maybe you've partnered with the beer throwing person. Oh, this person's on a hot streak. I gotta ice him. I'll signal to Bobby to throw some Natty Light on the table. Oh, no, what's that?
I mean, this person has obviously unlocked the door for us and ushered in a new era, and that's great, but I can think of like 100 different ways we could just go ahead and bump it up. Like, we can escalate it to the next level. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're playing, and you've got, you know, pocket rockets, baby, and, you know, the flop comes out, it's like 2-2-3, and you're like, fuck yeah, I got this, all in, and the other person's like, I'm all in. And then, you know, they flop a four of a kind. And you're stuck there with your pocket rockets like a real dipshit. And then the poker champ, the poker umpire.
Yeah.
Devilfish.
The umpire, you're playing against Devilfish. Yeah. And the poker umpire is like,
there. I just want to make sure he's in the mix.
Yeah. Devilfish is there.
And also Richard Kind is there.
Richard Kind is there. He's having a fucking great, he's losing a lot, but he's having the time of his fucking life.
Yeah.
I lose to Devilfish with my pocket rockets. And they're like, oops, ugh, sorry, Griffin. You lost with your pocket rockets. I think I should be like, ah. But like, I don't, but But like, I'm not going to give you my chips this time.
Yes.
Because the cards I had were really good. And the cards you had were really good also. But I'm going to hold on to my chips this time. Yeah. And like, I don't think there's much you can do about it.
Well, this is where the old double or nothing maneuver comes in.
Oh, nice.
You lose, but then you just yell, double or nothing. And one really knows what that means. But if the person agrees and you win, then you don't have to give them anything, I think that's how, or you get double. I'm not really sure. Can I tell you what my go-to maneuver is? My go-to, because I play the rooms. You know what I mean? I'm out there. I'm on the felt. I'm kind of a felt jockey, you know? I'm playing the green felt.
You'll flip the ponies.
Yeah, I'll flip the ponies. You know what I mean? Like, I'll dig with the spades. You know what I mean? I'll eat the clovers. I'll break some hearts. I'll cut some diamonds. You get it. Well, these are all card terms. These are what people say.
You'll put some dice in your butt.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Griffin, right? I'm a chipper. And if I look at my cards, right, I've stuck in, I've called every bet, and then I realize I'm losing, and there's no way I could win. I pull a deck of cards out of my pocket, and I start dealing them.
Oh, man.
And I deal them out to everyone else, right? And now we're playing simultaneous hands of poker, and maybe they've forgotten which cards are going with which game, you know? And I can just flip-flop, and that's where the term flop comes from, exchange my cards for other cards from my other hand.
Yeah.
And I win both hands now.
There's a lot of silly stuff you could do at the table to get everything all scrambled and mixed around.
Yeah.
You know, you could also, a big fan, guys.
Big fan.
Like no one's even thought of a big fan yet. And you don't even need electricity. It could be like one of those like big just hand fans.
Yeah.
And you could blow the game away.
Sometimes I also will just take my hand and all my chips and I'll put them up the front of my shirt and pretend like I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Or I'll dribble someone else's chips like behind their head. And like, oh, what's that? I've got extended arms.
Do you ever palm a real chip and then raise one of the poker chips to your mouth and then secretly eat the real chip and just be like, get it?
And that's what a is great this guy strategy. Doing? Yep, you could also just like when you're the short stack, you could just be like, I'm all in. And then you pick up all your chips and you throw them into another player's chip pile. And then you point and say, hey, some of those are mine. And they don't know how many.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If anybody gets too mad at you about any of these stunts, there's a new secret life hack I've been working on in my head. Okay. If anybody gets too mad at you about any of these stunts, here's a foolproof plan that'll get you out of almost any situation once. You look at them and you get embarrassed. And you say, I'm sorry, we're filming Encino Man 2.
Ooh.
And then you point, see, there's the camera over there. And when they look at the camera, you run away.
Uh-huh.
That would work pretty much any time you've done something embarrassing.
Unless.
Because, like, of course, this caveman, I mean, I've barely laid the groundwork for it. But, yeah, unless, I guess, okay. Unless what?
Imagine this, Justin. You do something embarrassing. You say, I'm filming Encino Man 2. Oh, no, the person you're embarrassed in front of is Brendan Fraser. And he's like, I know you're not filming Encino Man 2 because I get first look at Encino Man 2. And no one showed me a script for Encino Man 2.
Hey, Trav.
Or he's like, or he's deeply wounded.
Oh,
wait a minute. Are you, wow. Okay. Ouch. This one hurts.
I guarantee he got last of right refusal on that one. Right? When they tried to book him originally, we got Sean Astin. We got the Weasel. And now we need to get the phrase. And he was like, I'll do it on one condition. For any future Encino Mans, I get right of last refusal and last rights.
I don't think poker players should get to think that they're cool as they are. I think poker players wear the upside down visors and sunglasses and they smoke big stogies and they have cool names like Devilfish. And they drive big, cool, loud cars, and they think they're so big and cool, right? Hey, guys, you're playing board games.
Uh-huh.
You're basically playing a board game. Like, you know what I mean?
But we have a whole show where we play Dungeons & Dragons, and I like to walk around with upside-down visors and sunglasses inside and stuff.
I'm just saying.
Pauly Shore wants to make Encino Man 2.
Oh.
I found this story from 2014. He's in.
Oh, okay. Wow. We got the Weasel.
Damn, and he's...
The Weasel wants to do
probably
it.
Probably so picky, too.
Encino Man 2. Let's do it, he said. my agent and I are talking about.
Sure. It looks like the writer, Sean Sheps, of the 1992 original, quote, already has an idea for the story, but hasn't written it yet. So that's a roadblock.
Do you think the idea for the story is there's a caveman of some sort and he's doing something in Encino?
He's got kids, and one of them is half caveman. He's given the kids caveman disease, and he can't live with himself.
I'm sorry, Justin. If you remember correctly, at the end of the movie, there's also a cave woman who appears, and she and caveman appear to be happy together. Maybe. Okay. He's Encino Man.
Full caveman
the
baby.
The first of the Geico caveman.
So, it sounds like we've got an idea for the story and haven't written it yet. One might say our little small corporation also is ready to make Encino Man 2.
Yep.
And is as close as Mr. Sheps.
We've been talking about it.
Can we start the episode over and just make it kind of storyboarding Encino Man 2? Just really nailing these beats down.
Now we know what episode 500 is going to be.
Sure, it's just going to be us perfecting our pitch for Encino Man 2. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, My Brother and Me. We hope you've enjoyed yourself, and we hope that you are having a good day.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Nice.
We never say that, but I feel that. I feel that. I hope you're having a good day. I don't know when this episode is posting, so it's kind of hard for me to articulate much more than that, but gosh, I hope it's a good one.
I can do big general announcements.
Yeah.
One, tickets went on sale last week for our new live show tour. Maybe they're sold out, but if they're not, you should go to McElroy.family, click on tours, and get tickets there. A bunch of shows, some stuff in Norfolk, Virginia, stuff at Foxwoods Casino. It's all there. There's a bunch of dates. Go check that out. Also, the Adventure Zone graphic novel 3, Pedals to the Metal, it's coming out in July. If you haven't pre-ordered it yet, what are you waiting for? It's going to be our best one yet. And I'm not just saying that to be cute. It's really good, and I'm really proud of it. You can go to theadventurezonecomic.com and pre-order it now.
Also, that helps us a lot. Everybody's so supportive of the book, and like when it comes out, people are always like showing their support and showing that they got it and shared it with their friends. But the pre-order stuff really does help us out in a major way. So think about it if you haven't done it yet.
And you can also, as always, go check out McElroyMerch.com to see all of our fun merchandise stuff there. It's great.
Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of a theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. And that one's you know, been there for us. That one's right down the fucking middle. Like, yep. That one's right across the plate, and we are just so appreciative. Maximum Fun is also on the plate, and we love them for
speaking
it,
of,
so will you.
Max Fun Drive is coming up, middle of March. We're going to have a lot of cool...
Can we say what our episode was? I feel like we should talk about it.
Yeah, go for it, Griffin. You know what? I'm going to make the call and say yes.
I mean, we do crank calls.
Well, yeah, we do crank calls.
And it goes super good.
Yeah, we're really good at prank calling.
It's not, you may hear that and think, but these boys wouldn't be good at that. That'll be a rough listen. It's, y'all, it's a fun time. And we can say that. We say it's crank calls. Really, we're just having fun. And you'll like it. You'll like it too.
And you can get that if you are a donor, or you can become a donor during the Max Fun Drive, or you can be an upgrading donor. All those things. Middle of March, we're going to have a lot of fun bonus content, both for donors only and a lot of stuff. Like that's just gonna come out on our YouTube and in our threat, and you know, it's gonna be great. We're gonna have a great time.
I haven't told you boys this yet, but I edited our crank call episode, and it did. We recorded quite a bit, and it did end up being about 35 minutes long. So that's about the hit rate we were working with. But it's 35 minutes of pure good cranks. And how about a final Yahoo?
Yes.
This final Yahoo was sent in by a bunch of folks, actually. Thank you, everybody. Another anonymous Yahoo Answers user, who I'm going to call Schneider, asks, why are Chihuahuas so expensive when they're so little, not really getting your money's worth?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
Been my brother, may kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.